Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, Episode 719, A Christmas Story Story.
Oh, that was a Christmas.
A Christmas story.
I don't know. Christmas was in there twice, I thought.
A Christmas Story Christmas.
I haven't been introduced yet. Oh. I can't talk yet.
But yeah, here you are.
Don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
Hey, it's me, Matt.
Crystal.
And this is Tom.
I think it's actually A Christmas Story Christmas. I think it's A Christmas Story Christmas.
Oh, thank you for that clarification.
Uh-huh.
Glad you said something.
So if anyone didn't listen to the last episode, how could you skip it? We should probably bring you up to speed, which is we had some scheduling issues, and then this was going to be me, Kevin, and Matt, and then Kevin had sickness strike his household, and so now it ends up being me, Matt, and Crystal, and you can decide whether or not you're listening to an episode of Real Spoilers or an episode of The Clip Out.
Fair enough.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So quick, before we jump into A Christmas Story Christmas, shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. That's always helpful. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. So if you want to tell us how much you miss the other guys, feel free. You can also join our Patreon if you just can't get enough Matt Bassler. He's there all
over
it. All over it. You can do that at facebook.com. No, hang on. patreon.com/realspoilers. It's $5 a month. You get all sorts of bonus content. We like you extra. And I think that's everything.
That feels right.
Okay.
All right. And you didn't do your little League of Show Sharers because...
Because I still don't have... We're recording these episodes back to back. So I didn't have them last one. I don't have this one because it's been 4 minutes. So There we go. A Christmas Story Christmas. So I'm assuming...
I was wondering, are we going to start with everybody already has seen the first one?
I'm assuming...
A Christmas Story is a funnier title.
Maybe for the next one.
Oh, I hope.
I'm assuming you've seen A Christmas Story.
Well, I have, but I saw it for the first time maybe 3 years ago.
Oh. Wow, how did you go that long? Do you just hate Christmas?
I just hate Christmas.
Okay.
Right.
We never had cable as a boy.
Yeah.
Which I think is where it was played
a lot.
A lot.
For sure.
And I'm sure they showed it on network TV as well.
I don't know that they really did, now that you say it. I always remember it being on TBS.
Yep, it was on TBS.
And then TNT for a little bit, and then back to TBS.
And it's, you know, it was one of those movies where I felt like I knew the whole movie.
It entered pop culture, yes, like through osmosis, because it's just, it gets referenced so much.
And when I did finally sit down to watch it, I think my main takeaway was, I was surprised that it's a series of vignettes, mm-hmm, in a way.
Yeah. That's literally how Wikipedia has it listed.
Oh, really?
Under plot, it has...
Well, that's because he wrote it. He updated
Wikipedia. Yeah, I get on
it. Under plot, it has two paragraphs, and then it says other vignettes. And it's like, old man wins a major award. Old man fights a never-ending battle with the furnace. Old man...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was surprising to me. I didn't think... Because when people would talk about the parts, so you'd see like a clip somewhere.
Yeah.
And you kind of want, you know, be like, well, I wonder how all that really...
How's that all tie together?
Well, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Guess,
yeah,
what?
It doesn't.
And then... I think every single section I had either seen, parodied, referenced, except the part where the little boy eats dinner like a pig,
right,
and the mom's like, ah, you're a pig, you're a pig, and he's going wild on that plate, and why don't, it's the craziest part, nobody talks about it.
Because it's disgusting.
It's the best part. I love. It's so weird.
I think it was only the best part because it was new to you.
I'm gonna go with that.
Maybe
it's just strange, especially like I said. I'm watching this movie going, oh yeah, they're licking that pole.
Well, hey now,
yeah.
Now that you saw the porn period.
Yeah,
that's not eggnog.
So you've seen it too.
I have.
Yeah. But then, you know, bunny slippers, whatever, leg lamp, and then all of a sudden just this like squealing kid shoving his face with potatoes. And...
yeah, that sums it up.
The only new thing to me.
That's okay. So the reason it's like that, in case you're unaware, is that it's based on a collection of short stories. So
I did not realize.
Yeah,
that.
So Gene Shepard, who's the narrator of the first film, not of the second one because he's dead, but he...
Nobody wants to work anymore.
No. So he was an author, and he had a collection of short stories called In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash, which actually gets referenced in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a sign at the bar that says In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash,
oh,
which is a reference to the book that this is based on. So, but he would write, back when you could make money writing short stories because there were magazines, mm-hmm, that would publish them and actually pay you real money for,
yeah,
them, he would write all these short stories about his boyhood. And then he collected them in one volume. And he's had multiple volumes over the years, but this is the one that most of the Ralphie stories come from. But that would make this, I believe, the only Christmas film based on Playboy magazine.
Huh.
Because the one Ralphie story was originally published in Playboy magazine.
Right. Because so, you read it for the articles.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, people would say that jokingly, but back in the day, Playboy really did, right, have really good articles.
That's interesting because it doesn't really make me horny.
Well, that's good because it's about a 9-year-old boy.
So. Now, hey, that leg shows up, though.
You get a little eggnog, a little get a little pre-eggnog.
Okay.
I think I've done the impossible. I have made Matt Bassler speechless.
Well, I don't know how nasty we're supposed to get on this.
Oh, it's nasty. You know? It's okay, Kevin's got to do all the editing still. So,
oh, all right. All
yeah.
Right. Well.
You can say as much as you want.
Give me time. Give me
okay.
time.
Okay,
and
okay.
We'll see what I can do.
He's like jotting down candy cane jokes over
there. North Pole. That's yeah. could be a...
Sit on Santa's lap. See what pops up. Okay. So where was I?
Oh, Playboy.
So Playboy magazine. Yeah, so this was originally appeared in Playboy magazine. So the original was a pet project of the director Bob Clark. He'd been wanting to make it for years. And you know how when you have a big hit and you get to do whatever you want? So like when Jason Segel had a big hit with Forgetting Sarah Marshall, they said, you can make whatever movie you want. And he said, The Muppets. Right. And they were like, are we serious? Or are you being a funny guy right now? And so Bob Clark had one of those moments, which makes this another weird connection. So his movie that gave him the juice to get A Christmas Story made was Porky's.
Oh,
Now that makes me horny.
Yeah. Have you seen it recently? I don't know that.
What are you doing? Yeah.
I don't know that it would. So yeah, he made Porky's, which was a big giant hit, and it was a shame Joe's not here. He will be screaming at his iPod as we
his iPod
because it's 2007. But he made a horror movie that's also really popular. I can't remember what it is, and I don't care enough to click on his name to look it up.
Say the wrong one.
Halloween.
That's right. It was Halloween.
It was Halloween.
And there it is. Joe's head exploding.
Yeah. So, but those are basically his three movies, and that's it.
Wow.
So,
oh.
I don't think he did much beyond that. But those are pretty big movies. Anyway, so yeah, so this is based on a collection of short stories. There's been a lot of other Ralphie stories that I don't think a lot of people realize. So we reviewed it on the show. There was a cash grab Christmas Story 2 that came out, which is just atrocious. Mm. I mean, it's almost worth watching just to see how bad it is. Mm. It's really next level bad.
That's up my alley. That's what I like.
And then there was a movie with Charles Grodin and I think Kieran Culkin called My Summer Story, which it was released, I think, theatrically as Our Summer Vacation. And then when it hit home video, it was called My Summer Story. And it was about them on summer vacation. Spoiler.
Oh, all right.
But then there was also a collection of movies made for PBS.
What?
In like the 80s. And Matt Dillon was in one of them.
What?
And it was more about Ralphie as a young adult. Because not all of the stories are Christmas themed. Mm-hmm. It was more just following his childhood and young adult years. And so they would take these other short stories and turn them into movies that would air on PBS.
So was this all made up? Was this movie all made up? Or was this like also true stories that connected?
I think these are all true stories, or not true stories. These are all made up. These aren't Gene Shepard stories that are being repurposed.
Okay.
I think these are all new.
It felt that way to me.
It did. Like, right. I felt like I liked this movie. I didn't love it. I know a lot of people are like really going crazy for it.
Oh, really? I don't know the perception of it. Is that right? People are like,
they seem to
be. Are like going crazy. I could see why people would go crazy for it because you expect it to be garbage.
Right. See that. Like, yeah. I will say you can tell the people that made this movie, unlike A Christmas Story 2, have a great love for the property.
That right. is true.
And that really shines through. So even in its weaker moments, there's still an affection that the movie has for the source material that makes it not feel like a cash grab, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And, you know, hey, on record, on real spoilers, I don't care about remakes or long time sequel, long gone, whatever. What do you call it? Whatever. What do they call it? Requel now or whatever? I remake everything. I don't care. Remake The Godfather. Makes no difference to me. Sure. Maybe it'll be bad. Hey, maybe it'll be real good. They remade Scarface.
Yeah. I mean, people forget how many movies they love are remakes, right? The Wizard of Oz. Remake.
I know. It's I think it's more about nostalgia, but
yeah. For sure.
But Maltese Falcon, remake.
I saw people, I was reading a thread, whatever, they're remaking something, people are up in arms. Oh no, they can't do that. And they're talking about how Hollywood's out of ideas, and somebody listed all these movies that weren't sequels or remakes that came out this year, and someone was like, well, that one's a book and that was a play, and that is what Hollywood movies have
forever.
Always been.
Yeah. Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
So, right. I go into this.
Well, even then, Wizard of Oz was a book.
Right.
Maltese Falcon was a book. Like,
of course they
Godfather
were.
Was a book.
And I think things just, in my opinion, or my perception, things just sort of ebb and flow. There are worse years for movies.
Sure.
But people complain about, like, superhero movies now, and it's all the Marvel and whatever, but it would have just been all action movie, generic action movies.
Yeah.
You know, what's the difference?
It was for years it was westerns, right?
Yeah.
Everything was a western, and then it became war movies.
Yeah.
And right now it's superhero movies.
Yeah.
And then, well, it became cop movies, right? And then buddy cop movies, and now it's superhero movies.
And sure, they weren't all part of the same franchise,
right.
But the number, the percentage, I would guess, was relatively similar. And again, yeah, maybe that it ebbs and flows. I'm sure somebody could go like, no, look at this year. It was actually
right.
I think this year's actually been a really good year for movies.
I would agree. I like movies. I just like movies and like this movie, right? I still think, you see like, they're going to remake. If they were remaking Godfather, I would think it was probably going to be bad. But I would be like upset about it.
Right.
You see they're making this movie. You kind of think, maybe this ain't going to be so great.
Yeah.
And then it's a delightful surprise.
Yeah. I think it helps.
Okay.
I think it helps that the lead actor, Ralphie, Peter Billingsley, is a film producer.
Oh, that's probably
And so
true.
He was one of the producers on Elf. He was one of the producers on the first Iron Man movie. Like him and Vince Vaughn are really good friends. And so even though you maybe haven't seen his face as the lead in a film, he's been working in the industry at a very high level for years. So I think in order for him to go back to this, he knows that this is going to be like Ralphie is going to be the first thing mentioned in his obituary.
Yeah.
Like there's no version of events where that doesn't mm-hmm. happen. Right. And so he's not going to go back if he thinks it's not going to be good. And he also has the skill set to at least set it up to be as good as possible. And I think this is probably about as good as you're going to get for a sequel 40 years later.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So oddly enough, it's written by Nick Schenck, who is Clint Eastwood's guy. Like he wrote The Mule and Gran Torino. And like he wrote like four different Spielberg movies, which is just, all right, Spielberg, sorry, still in the last episode. he wrote four different Clint Eastwood movies, which is kind of a weird pivot.
It is.
But I just thought that was worth mentioning. So the movie takes place in 1973. So it's roughly 30, 35 years later.
Okay. I don't remember them saying it was in 73.
So the time frame on the first movie is really weird.
Okay.
Like people can't pin down when that movie took place because they never give you an exact date, and the clue and like the little clues you get that you could kind of connect, they're conflicting.
Right.
So there's in the original movie, in the scene outside of Higbee's when they're looking in the store window and they go to the Christmas parade, you see actors dressed up in the parade as the cast of Wizard of Oz, which is 1939, but then when he gets the Ovaltine ring, the Dakota ring, it says 1940, and then they play Here Comes Santa Claus by Bing Crosby, but that doesn't come out until 1943.
Yeah.
But if it was taking place during World War II, I don't know how they couldn't mention a world war taking place.
Well, and he calls in the Ovaltine thing on an iPhone. And that really messes it up,
especially since it was filmed in 1983.
Forward-looking. People were always, "What is that thing?" And then eventually,
we're like, "Oh, now it makes sense." But yeah, so like nobody's ever really been able to figure out what year A Christmas Story takes place. And I think it's funny because it's like one of those things that when you love a movie, you can find ways to explain things, and you don't mind.
Yeah,
like I've always kind of chalked it up to, this is a story of nostalgia. It's this guy looking back on his childhood, and you get all those things jumbled in your head.
You do. So was that the year?
Right.
Yeah. And I could go along with that.
Yeah. If it was A Christmas Story too, I'd be over here like, oh, bull.
Sure.
Like,
well, also if it was a bunch of short stories, couldn't they have taken place over time and they just kind of stitched it together to make it look like it was all one?
Well,
I
guess but the kid would age.
I know. I'm just saying that they didn't do that, but they came from different
eras. Oh, like the source material was from different
years. Yeah. And right. I don't think they intentionally had these anachronistic. Is that the word I want?
Yeah, I guess it would be. Yeah.
Hey, okay.
Like you.
Things. They didn't do that intentionally, but it does. Chalking it up to a nostalgia, how you remember those things fits with everything.
It does.
Yeah.
Did you see It Follows?
Huh?
Horror movie.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
But they did intentionally want this loose time. You don't know when it's taking place. It could be the 60s, could be, well, probably not the 60s, whatever. I say too many words. That's my problem. feels very 80s, could be whatever. But they have the girl, one of the characters has this, like, shell-shaped reader thing. Looks kind of like a flip phone.
Yeah.
And I spent the whole dang movie going, what the hell is that shell thing? What is this? I think it was a bad move. They shouldn't have, without the shell, I would have been like, oh yeah, cool. It does kind of feel like it could be 70s, 80s, 90s.
Right.
Who knows? They throw that thing in and I'm just like, is this not on our planet? What?
Yeah, you're fixated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do that a lot with movies when I don't know when it, I just look for technology to be like, oh, okay, yeah. They're texting. Then it's...
This is what year it is.
Yeah. So, A Christmas Story, Christmas.
Story.
The Christmas.
Funnier version.
Yeah. It opens with Ralphie as an adult because it's been... I like the fact that they didn't keep it exactly the amount... Like, it should be 43 years.
Right.
And he would be too old. But the actor looks young enough to pull off playing 10 years younger. So, like, I'm glad that they... Plus, then it would have been set in the year it came out.
It's true.
Or damn close to it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting they're doing the same thing with the new Indiana Jones movie, because if they had kept time on a one-to-one proportion, it would be set in the year Raiders of the Lost Ark came out, but instead it's supposed to be set in the late 60s.
Time's hard on a globe-trotting archaeologist.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a good point.
So Ralphie's an aspiring writer, but he's struggling, and he has taken a year off work, and his wife has allowed him to take a year off work. So he could focus solely on his writing. And the deal was, if he's not published by the end of that year, then he will go back to whatever his nondescript real job is that apparently is waiting for him with open arms.
I figured it was just like the 70s and you could just kind of
do whatever.
Get a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go down to the job store.
The job store.
Pick a job off the job tree.
Yeah.
And you'll be good to go. So, but there are 13 publishers that exist in this world, and he's been turned down at this point by 11 of them.
Because you have to go to a local publisher.
Right, apparently.
Yeah, because they're living in Chicago. Yeah. Is that where they were at?
What am I talking about? You couldn't get on the internet and find publishers all over the world, yeah. So
that's
maybe
true.
That was more, you're going through the phone book looking at publishers.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good point.
And so,
I was like, there's like hundreds of publishers, but you make a good point, actually. That's...
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
So we see him get turned down by the 12th publisher.
Yeah.
We get our first little fantasy moment where he envisions what the future will look like. So we still get those. I'm glad that we get those.
Yes.
They seem,
yes.
They seem appropriate.
I was still chugging along chipperly at this point. I was happy.
And then he goes home and he gets a call from his mother, and you find out that his father has passed away, and it's 5 days before Christmas, and he has to go back to home in Indiana to deal and pick up the pieces. So they get back in the family truckster, and they head back to home.
And good enough reason, I feel like, to make another movie, right? Like, this is enough of a thing is happening that I can be like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And you have to explain the absence of the father.
Right.
That actor's been dead for a long time. The mother has been recast. The original actress, Melinda something or other, is retired from acting in like 2007. So, from Airplane. Julie Haggerty.
Oh, I don't, I mean.
Yeah. I never can seen picture.
I believe you.
You've never seen Airplane?
I've seen Airplane.
We don't all memorize names of actors.
But, I mean.
I don't remember what anyone looks like from Airplane. It's a bunch of people.
I thought she was a great choice because
she's flighty.
I always misremembered the actress from A Christmas Story as Julia Haggerty.
Oh, yo, I didn't know she was recast. I mean, I've only seen A Christmas Story once. So.
Yeah.
But it felt like the same.
It did feel
person,
the same.
Vibe.
Yeah, like,
the vibe.
Yeah, like they, it was a great choice. Like,
it was.
Yeah. So, so this is the one thing that Crystal and I both kept getting stuck on. When Ralphie goes home, the mom is like, well, the dad wouldn't want to ruin Christmas, so we'll deal with this after Christmas.
I'm like, where is this dead body?
Where is his
body? I need details. You don't just put it on hold. That's not a thing.
Oh, you gotta freezer chest in the basement? Mm-mm. Toss him in there? Wait.
Like,
wait. Push the turkey over. I'm like, cram him in.
And they never alluded to it at all. Yeah. I'm just like, where?
They just don't want to do it.
I think they needed a different plot device. But obviously the whole thing's, the payoff of the movie is going to hinge around this obituary he's got to write.
Right.
But I'm still like, where are you storing the body?
Because most people watching this movie are old enough to have experienced somebody dying. So you've walked through the steps of the obituary process. They don't wait. They're not like, you know what? You've got 5 days. Take your time. No, they're like, okay, let's sit here. Let's fill out this form. That's what they do. They walk you through it.
Could you just cremate someone and hang on to them?
You could. And if they had explained that.
Right.
Sure.
Now I sound like you.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be writing the movie for them.
Right. But but yeah, so they never really address it. It's just like, well, we're going to wait till after Christmas, which it's not a thing. Yeah, like I needed a better reason.
Well, and also, he's still dead.
Right?
It's not like...
But I also get that you don't want to spend the days leading up to Christmas planning a funeral and all that.
Okay? When are they having the... Are they going to do it 2 weeks?
And they never address that.
Because if you do it the next day, it's still kind of Christmas.
Right.
And she was like, we don't want to ruin Christmas and think of this every year. You're going to think of it every year. What, are you waiting until February? Like, when are we having this funeral that's going to work?
It's like starting a diet. You're like, well, we don't want to ruin Christmas. Well, you know what? Now it's New Year's. I don't want to ruin New Year's.
Right.
All right.
I'll just wait. Now if I don't want to ruin Valentine's Day.
Right.
Maybe this doesn't take place on our planet. Maybe things are different in this universe.
I did not see a shell device.
You're right. Okay.
It takes place on a different planet that had a Jesus and celebrates Christmas.
All planets have Jesus.
And in Indiana.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And there you can just kind of, you schedule the funeral for whenever you want.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You got to think about these things.
Right.
So the Bumpus kids, which is our family, still lives next door, which was kind of this hillbilly family that was always causing a ruckus.
The Bumpus were ruckus.
The Bumpus ruckus. And so he has two children, a boy and a girl.
Ralphie does.
And they're, of course, getting bullied by the locals with a snowmobile who keep destroying their snowman.
But no bully would do that in front of the parents. I'm sorry.
It stole a scarf, too.
I know. No way. If I had been that mom, I would have jumped off that porch.
It was the 70s, man.
I don't care.
Kids smoked back then.
I'll just say if my dad had been there and somebody tried that, there would have been hell to pay.
And also, their dad seems to be an okay guy now?
Of the bully? Right.
Yeah.
So how did...
Yeah, because we will come to learn that the dad is Scut Farkas, who...
I thought it was Scott.
It's Scut.
Scut?
S-C-U-T. Scut Farkas. And...
Well, that's... I mean, geez. You don't want your kid to be a bully.
Right.
Because you name him Scut.
Yeah. So, yeah, you will come to learn that the bully's name is... Or the bully's father, Scut Farkas, who is... the kid that he ends up, who is the bully in the first movie, who he ends up beating up in what is referred to as the Scut Farkas incident. Mm. But that is a reveal for later in the film.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that they made him a police officer only in so much is that his character is reminiscent of Eddie Haskell, who in real life became a police officer.
Mm.
Make of that what you will.
Did I forget what I was going to say?
Based on that sentence, yes.
It feels like I did, yes. Okay.
Ralphie hangs out at the bar in town, which is owned by Flick.
Sure.
Which is one of his friends.
His best friend.
From the movie. And Schwartz is a frequent patron.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Again, good enough.
Yeah.
To get them all there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was fine with that part.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. This is a problem, right, with these kind of sequels that are so much later. You're like, well, why would that guy be there? You know?
Yeah.
And,
but it's like, you know, especially with this town, it totally makes sense that most people did not leave this town.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I totally buy that.
Yep.
Schwartz, you'll remember, right? Schwartz is the one who got his tongue stuck on the pole.
I don't know.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Flick is the...
Flick is the one who triple dog bears.
Yeah.
So, and we get, so then they go out and they get their tree again. And he barters for the tree like the dad does and gets
that
a really awful
me.
Tree.
That irritated me so much.
Why is that?
Tell me more.
It irritated me because his dad, he would get so frustrated at his dad. It never worked with his dad.
Yeah.
So you learned nothing in 40 years. You're doing 30 years.
See,
whatever.
I feel like this was a missed opportunity for the film because they keep going on about how good
right.
the dad was at Christmas. But the dad wasn't good at Christmas.
No.
Right? Like the dad was yeah. really bad at Christmas. Like the dad would always get a bad tree. The car breaks down. He, you know, he buys the leg lamp, right? Like the dad's really bad at Christmas. But what the dad wasn't bad at was loving his family and wanting them to have a great Christmas.
Yeah.
And so they end up looking back on all these things fondly because they love him.
Yeah.
They get real close to it with the mom saying, your dad wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. Like,
right.
And you're right. You get it. You, I think that would have been nice to like, be like, don't you remember the this like, and the that and the that?
Because the thing about the original Christmas story is, and it, I think people have lost sight of it because they have nostalgia for the film, but the film itself isn't very nostalgic, right? Like the film is almost like anti-nostalgia because like all these bad he's looking back on this childhood, and it's filmed in this kind of hazy focus rose color glasses kind of way, but the things you're watching, like this kid repeatedly gets on, right? He sends away for the decoder ring, and it's just a crummy commercial. And like the car breaks down, and he destroys the he loses all the lug nuts to put the tire back on. And he doesn't get, nobody wants to give him this the one thing he wants, and then he finally gets it. And the reason that they didn't want to give it to him is exactly what happens to him. Like everything that you see play out, even though this guy's looking back on it fondly, it's not
right.
good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They're not positive.
He humiliates things. Himself over and over and over again, but it's funny looking back, but in the moment it would really suck.
Yeah.
And so like now people, they love this film, but the film itself doesn't necessarily love itself.
Yeah.
In that
sure.
way.
That's true.
And so I think that would have been a nice mm-hmm. moment to be like, no, your dad wasn't good at Christmas, but your dad was good at loving you.
Yeah.
And like, that's enough. And that made your Christmas good.
Yeah.
Like that. I feel like they got real close to being able to make that point, and then they kind of lost the
backed
thread.
Off a little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, this movie really follows the beats of the first film. I mean, it's really just an exercise in fan service, although mm-hmm. pretty well done
mm-hmm.
by yeah. and large. And I, Christmas is always about nostalgia, so I don't think you want this movie reinventing the wheel. You kind of want it to serve you more of the same.
And it's Christmas time, so you're going to do those. I think a lot of like a nostalgia sequel thing, it's like, oh, they're going back to the place,
right.
and you're like, well, what?
Right,
why?
But of course they're going to buy a Christmas tree
right.
again. Of course
yeah.
they're going to go sledding.
Go to the, not Gimbel's, but
Higbee's. Yeah, a real department store, by the way. In case you're curious.
Nah.
Okay.
Didn't care. Not really.
It was bought out by Dillard's.
Oof, and I care even less. It's like, yeah.
But yeah, so you get a lot of those scenes recreated. You see Flick challenge Schwartz once again to a crazy stunt where they go, which is a little close to Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
With the sled
right.
that gets out
yeah.
of control.
The sledding incident.
You get to see the son say fudge.
Yeah.
As he wrecks his sled.
Yeah.
Hey, those kid actors, not bad.
No, they were pretty good. Kid yeah. actors have gotten good over
yeah,
the
what's,
years.
See, that makes me a little leery.
Why?
What terrible things? Because kids are always terrible to kids. I don't know.
I think it's better for kids. I'm not saying there aren't bad things that happen out there. I just read that book from the girl from iCarly.
Right.
And it
yeah.
was pretty rough. But I think by and large, I think they've gotten a lot better at trying to tamp that down. And that was really more about how her mother treated her
right.
than how Hollywood
maybe,
treated her. Although there was
that,
a little bit of how.
Maybe that is it. Maybe it's like, hey, if you actually like, treat kids well, they perform better.
Yeah.
I remember the time we were lucky enough to interview Andrea Barber, who played Kimmy Gibbler
oh,
on
cool.
Full
yeah.
House. And she was saying that that her parents like made a huge point to balance that, like when they were on the set versus at home, and like when they were at home, they were totally normal kids.
Yeah.
Like they did all the normal things. They went to school and they still had to do all the stuff and they still had chores and, yeah. you know, all of that. And I think that the parents do have a lot to do with like how normalized mm-hmm. they
yeah.
make that.
Yeah. Cause like Ron Howard's parents were like that. And
yeah.
Ron and Clint Howard are very normal people. But I also liked what Andrew Barber said about she was talking about how if she committed to something, she had to do it, but she could quit at any time. So it was like, if you agreed to do the next season of Full House,
oh,
you're
cool.
going to do this season of Full House. But come next season, if you don't want to sign up to do it again, then we're
yeah.
done. But you can't quit in the middle. Like, right. if you're going to do it, you're going to do it.
But yeah, it just seems like kid actors, you know, used to be not very good. By and large, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And now, yeah, you're right. They're better.
I think that's part of what made the original popular. Is
yeah.
Ralphie was good. Peter
yeah.
Berlinsey was good.
Nice.
And they were auditioning like actors that would go on to be Sean Astin auditioned for the role of Ralphie. Will Wheaton auditioned. So they were getting people who would go on to be big deals. But Peter Billingsley was a big deal at the time. Like he was in a lot of stuff. He was on a show called Real People, which is kind of considered like the first reality show. Oh. And then he was, what else? He was the Hershey syrup kid. He was Messy Marvin, and he was on lots of stuff.
That was a thing?
Yeah, that's
cool.
a thing. So Ralphie spends the bulk of the movie obsessing about the obituary. His mom has tasked him with writing his father's obituary because she's like,
well, you're the writer.
You're the writer. You need to write this, right? So... But he keeps struggling. And he keeps going back to trying to write his science fiction opus, which is really bad.
Uh-huh.
Neptune's something.
Not revenge, but something like that.
Yeah. But yeah, something about Neptune. It doesn't say on Wikipedia.
Something about Neptune.
Yeah, it was definitely.
So
maybe it was set on another planet. It was on Neptune this whole time.
Yeah. That's why they wouldn't buy it. They're like, it's supposed to be science fiction. We live on Neptune.
So Ralphie keeps trying to write his obituary and struggling. And
yeah.
he finally has the idea of almost as a writer's exercise, he starts writing. Well, the friends at the bar tell him he should write stories from his childhood because
yes.
they start telling stories at the bar. I like the scene where they're letting the kid bartend.
Yes,
and,
I did too.
Yeah.
And he answers the phone and they're all like, nope,
yeah.
nope.
I really like that scene. But he starts writing up all these stories from his childhood, which of course I felt like from the opening scene, I knew how this was going to pay
sure.
off. Is that
yeah.
he is like, oh, when you hear he's writing science fiction, it's like, well, no, he's not going to write science fiction. That's going to be the solution.
Right.
So
then they go. So then he challenges him to whatever he challenged him to, and he triple dog dared. Oh, he had to do something to pay off. He had to do.
Oh,
the
he
hill
was
gonna, or,
if he did the sled thing off
yeah,
this like
they called it something
forgotten chute,
yeah.
Or ramp. He'll,
the ramp. That's
he'll
what they
forgive
called it.
His bar tab because
yeah.
he has this huge bar tab.
Yeah,
and he triple dog dares him, and so
they leave the bar. They put a note on the bar. They all go to wherever this ramp is.
Yeah.
And then they recreated Christmas Vacation.
Correct.
Right.
I thought it was, I don't know if it was intentional, but I remember that the dad in the first one, he's always battling the furnace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in this one, the radiator on the car won't work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Which is the furnace for a car.
I didn't see it that way.
Did anything in this, the ramp thing, it's not fantastical exactly, but that felt too outside of reality for this movie in the first one.
It didn't match.
That's kind of, yeah.
Yeah, the tone was a little like they wanted to have another getting his tongue stuck
right.
to the lamppost moment, and they couldn't come up with it, and so they did a sled thing.
And
yeah.
like
when you're watching him do that, you're like, that would kill you.
Yeah. And also it does kind of lead to nothing. I mean, he just is like, fine.
Right.
It's all fine. Nothing
yeah,
happens.
It's very right. Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
And like the tongue on the pole, that's a very universal
yeah.
thing. Which, I mean,
it's universal because of that movie.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. But I guess it would be very hard to say, hey, what's another universal thing everyone's experienced that no one's put in a movie before?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, when you watch A Christmas Story, it's hard to believe that no one had done that prior.
Right.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder if it did, it was just in such a small of a unsuccessful movie that it didn't click or something. But yeah, like that's a hard thing to recreate.
Yeah. It didn't hit right with me. I just felt it felt forced. It felt weird.
Christmas Vacation-y a little bit, which is a different kind of fun.
Movie. Yeah,
yeah, I will say like there are definitely parts of this movie that feel forced that don't quite hit the natural tone of the first one.
Yes.
If you know, I was thinking when we were watching this movie, what would be interesting for HBO to do since it's on HBO Max is if they had Peter Billingsley re-record all the dialogue, the narration for the first one.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, let that be a ver... I don't want to ever not be able to watch the Gene Shepard version, but it would be neat to see him doing the narration for the original film.
Yeah.
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 But he was definitely doing a Gene Shepard impersonation with his reading style.
Like, I also didn't know it wasn't the same narrator.
Yeah, I get that if you're not super familiar with the first one, because he is definitely nailing the cadence and tone. But the original one, it's the author of the short stories, Gene Shepard, reading them.
Sure that people who watched it numerous times every year probably knew. But yeah, I guess what I'm saying is it's close enough for a casual.
It definitely sounded
felt
it sounded similar. Like
yeah, it wasn't
jarring. I could hear the difference, but yes, it definitely captured the same tone. They did a good job with that. And while they were out there with the sledding, you got to say that the kid.
Yeah, well, I mentioned that earlier. The kid. That's where the kid says fudge.
But he also broke his arm.
Broke his arm.
Oh, that's right.
This is after Ralphie hits the daughter with the snowball. This is a very hard movie to talk about on Real Spoilers. You're spoiling like seven small movies.
Okay, but see, this is another thing that irritated me about the movie. Everyone ended up injured. There were so many injuries in this movie. Yeah. I was like, I mean, today, that would just be child abuse. DFS would be called.
Well, you know.
Not in the 70s.
I know.
Not in Home in Indiana.
That's bad. Things were better then.
Yeah.
You could put your kid's eye out.
That's why they call it the good old days.
Yeah.
Make America great again.
But in the first one, it was only Ralphie that really got hurt. Like, in his household.
And this one, Ralphie is the only one that does not?
He's the only.
I guess he was.
Wife sprains her ankle.
He's the only one aggressing, really.
Yeah.
When another cut of this movie was a horror movie, like The Shining.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wife sprains her ankle. The
dad dies.
Dad dies.
Yeah.
That's right.
Dad dies.
And then one kid breaks their arm. Breaks what was? Arm. What happened to the girl?
She gets hit in the face with a snowball, so she has an eye patch.
Now that's close to me for like a thing that would happen in real life. You guys ever have rock fights when you were a kid?
No.
But
did not do that.
Kids do.
Yeah.
And like, I once hit a kid in the head with a rock. Now, and we're wearing coats and we're throwing these little rocks and it's like, you're an idiot kid, so you're not putting it together. And then I throw one and hit him in the head and he's hurt.
Oh, no.
Not like bad, but you know.
But he's dead now, but.
Yeah. It didn't hurt for long because he died. But you know, you aren't putting together this actually dangerous thing we're doing, and so that like accidentally hitting someone harder and worse than you wanted to was kind of close to a thing.
That was the most realistic injury to me because even when the mom fell and like sprained her ankle, I was just like,
yeah, it was a pratfall.
Yeah,
it was played for laughs.
Yeah,
but yeah, the little girl getting hit in the face with a stone.
That was funny too.
Yeah.
I did. I'm not much of a laugher, but I definitely gave a little. That's pretty good.
Gave a chuckle.
Yeah.
So I guess the drives the last part of the film is the star on their tree falls and breaks, and
right.
I guess we didn't talk about the return to Higbee's. We should probably talk about that. So the department store, and they're waiting in line to see Santa, and you kind of get the same beats of that, where in the first one there was the weird kid that was super excited about Santa, and this one you get the kid that keeps wanting to share his sucker with them. But I like that because like that is something like
that's
a new take on it that feels real.
Yeah,
of this kid wanting to share a sucker with them.
I was good with all that. I was afraid they were gonna tried to do too much the same as the first one.
Yeah.
I was like sitting there kind of like ready to cringe the entire time. But I didn't.
Yeah.
It was good.
The star breaks on the tree, and he had told the daughter that only real houses, only Santa only goes to people that have stars on their tree. That's the real thing to have.
It's
on
like
the tree.
A Sneetches type of thing.
Exactly. He was basically just making it up because they didn't have that. She was used to an angel, but they didn't have an angel. And he's like, "Oh, in Homan, it's all stars. Like that's what you got to do." And I did like the scene where she's on Santa's lap and she's quizzing him, and she asks him stars or angels, and he guesses right. I thought that was really good.
And that now, kind of dumb, but I was thinking, oh, he's going to say angel and that's going to be a whole thing. And you're like watching a thing in a movie and you're like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go down this route.
Yeah.
And then they didn't do it. And I'm like, all right. Okay. Yeah. Good job, movie.
And it was believable because it's like he had a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
So it's not implausible that he got it right.
And the narrator was like, yeah.
But you're seeing this thing they're setting up and then you know it's going to get resolved, and it's like
it just feels exhausting.
Don't do it. When they don't, it's wonderful.
You're like, oh, you just shaved 10 minutes off your runtime. Thank you, producers,
and for something kind of funny too.
Right. But so the star breaks, and so Ralphie has to go out and replace the star. Of course, Christmas is ruined. Oh, we should also say that the presents get stolen from the trunk of their car.
Right. Well, so he has to go do all the shopping because Mom busted her ankle, and then she's sitting there with Grandma, and they drink the whole time while he runs around to all the stores and shops his butt off, gets all of the presents. He's very proud of himself. They celebrate. They're all in the trunk, and then that's whenever they have the car dies on the way home.
Right.
They have the snowball fight. He injures his child. Now they have to go to the emergency room.
While they're in the ER, somebody steals
trunk pops open, they have set up as a thing that happens.
And somebody steals all their presents. And so now they have no presents for Christmas and the star is broken. And what are we going to do? And he remembers that there's a star at the bar. And so he goes back to the bar, but it's closed because it's Christmas Eve. So he breaks into the bar figuring Flick won't mind. Flick will understand. And the cops show up, and the cop is the aforementioned Scut Farkas.
Oh, boy.
So now he's like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I am six kinds of screwed.
Exactly.
And but Scut is surprisingly sympathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's no longer a bully.
But
his kids are.
And he maybe is kind of an absent father because he doesn't know that his kids were just in a horrible snowmobile accident.
Yeah.
Like he says
5 minutes ago.
He says, my kids might be worse than me.
They're
driving around that snowmobile. Hey, buddy, your kids probably need to go to the hospital. Right. I mean, they were driving at those things. They got thrown from the snowmobile.
They were ejected.
You know what? Maybe him and the mom are split up. She's not telling him nothing.
It could be.
So
wait, trying to get Tom riled up. So.
keep it going. Keep it going from our last up.
So Scut takes pity on him. And talks about how that was the day that changed his life when Ralphie kicked the snot out of him.
It's a great message.
It is.
Yeah, that beat up
you
people.
You should beat up the bad guy.
Beat people up. You're only helping them.
Yeah. Violence is always the answer.
Yeah.
That's the lesson of the movie. So he takes him back to his house and he puts the star on the tree and goes
to
bed.
Tom, if I may.
Yes.
Did you think, hey, what about his car?
Yeah, because he just left the car there.
He just left the car there.
Yeah, I did think about that.
And because I had a thought in my head, maybe old Scut is being nice, but then where's his car's there? He can't. This isn't nice at all.
Right, because if he was just going to let him go home, why not just be like, go home?
Like he wasn't drunk.
Right.
Yeah.
Just go home.
Right. I mean, and I guess you could say he didn't know, but I don't know. It's just a movie. It's a movie thing, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. It's like, well, man, now he's got to walk down there, get his car. Oh, terrible.
It is terrible.
Christmas Day, walking down to
and apparently Flicks. They never plow the streets in Homan, Indiana.
Ever.
Like, there's not even an attempt to get for snow removal. Yeah. So now it's Christmas morning. Ralphie wakes up, and he's getting all sorts of compliments about his piece in the newspaper, and he has no idea what people are talking about. And he discovers that his wife had sent in one of his stories about his father, and it's the front page of the newspaper,
yeah,
as obituaries are wont
well,
to
be. Well, it's not an obituary.
That's right.
They say.
That's right. They did say that.
That's what the editor said.
Mm-hmm. But we all know how much small town newspapers love to run short fiction
on the front page.
On the front page of the paper.
That get syndicated?
Yeah.
Right?
The week of Christmas?
Yeah.
In Indiana. That's the launch pad of syndication.
Indiana is pretty much a pipeline to the literary industry.
I was like, how would he know that on Christmas Day? That was another thing that irritated me.
Sure.
It made no sense.
Yep. Yep.
So
this movie sucked.
But yeah, so he gets a call from the paper saying how much people love the story that they've had in their possession for 3 hours.
Yes.
In an age where the only way you could communicate with the newspaper was by mailing them a letter on a day when there's no mail delivery.
I'm sure they had people manning the phones.
People were calling in and say, hey, we're running this story. It's going to be big. Christmas morning, we need you here. Everyone was on board. And then, parents are being like, shut up, kids. Don't quit crinkling that paper. I got to call the paper. The only paper I want to crinkle is this newspaper to read it.
So Ralphie's very excited about, he gets to keep not having to have a real job.
Yeah.
As someone who doesn't have a real job, I get the appeal.
That's interesting. That is interesting that you consider author not a real job.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just think it's interesting.
I think he was saying a 9-to-5 traditional job.
But he didn't say traditional job.
That's
I also
true.
Said that I don't have a real job.
And he does have a non-traditional job that's not 9-to-5-ish. So that's where that's why I kind of when you're with somebody else, have you fill in the gaps of what they mean, the shorthand?
I guess you did, save it there at the end. All right.
So,
what if Stephen King hears this?
I feel pretty confident that Stephen King
crushed.
Won't hear this. I think Stephen King would also be like, I don't got a real job.
I think
that's
he would.
True. Yeah. He'd be like, no, Tom's right.
Okay.
Right. So, Ralphie... but he's still worried because they don't have any presents for the children. And he walks in. But of course, because it's a Christmas miracle, there are all sorts of presents under the tree.
Right. Because the wife spent their remaining $8 and got a million presents.
No, that's not what it was.
What was
that
it?
Is true.
I had stopped to listen. Yeah.
She gets little trinkets.
She gets trinkets. But the dad, before he
died. Right. I
had
forgot.
Bought a bunch of presents
now,
and left them in the basement.
But I guess they're not going to be exactly what the kids wanted, because how would the grandpa know?
Because it's a Christmas miracle. That's how.
They were the presents they wanted?
They all got leg lamps.
That's crazy.
They all got leg lamps.
Exactly the sled that the kid was asking for, the easy bake oven.
All of it.
Wow,
every
Grandpa.
Last bit of it.
He knew. In
character is the guy that did everything perfect in the first movie.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
So the dad saves Christmas from beyond the grave. I like this part.
I liked it. If some of the other parts wouldn't have irritated me, I would have been more okay with it by then. But I was already kind of crabby by the time we got here.
And the daughter had hustled a radiator for the dad.
Oh, yeah.
That was nice.
No, it wasn't. How the hell would she know that that was the right radiator? It didn't make any sense.
Well, she knew the year and make of the car.
Yeah.
But I think kidnapping a dog is pretty messed up.
Yeah.
Kevin, if you can basically copy what I said about the last movie we did and kind of just paste it here, I think that'd be fine.
Yeah, I would agree. Like I think this movie did a solid as can reasonably be expected for a sequel 33 years in the making.
It's fine.
It was a little less than fine for me.
I did like
fine minus.
Yeah, it was a fine minus.
I liked the final shot of him reading the story, and then it segues into the narration from Gene Shepard.
I like that.
Because that's the, of the opening lines of the first film. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was nice. There were parts I liked.
There were parts that they got really right, and there were other parts where I don't really feel like they did anything just flat out like, that's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
But there were some parts that I think they really nailed.
And there were some parts that were fine minus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a new thing.
Yeah, if we...
Trademark Gross Boys.
if we needed something to do and we decided, let's just go see a movie, and we went and saw this, I'd leave going, you know, I wouldn't have loved it, but I'd be like, I didn't waste my time or my money.
Yeah, I've seen worse.
Saving Kevin some trouble. Yeah. Now, you don't need to now, Kevin. I did it. I already did it.
That's your Christmas present from Matt. But yeah, like I said, when I heard they were making a sequel, and they brought back a lot of people, you know, yeah. I think mm-hmm. pretty much.
We didn't bring up the fact that Ralphie shows up at the end.
Randy.
The other kid.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Wrong kid.
Ralphie does show up at the end.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, you're not sure. Wrong, but it's not exactly breaking news either.
Oh, sorry,
but
yeah, little bro.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, I mean, you get Randy, you get Schwartz, you get Flick, you get Scott Farkas and his cohort, whose name I can't remember. Yeah. But yeah, you get to see pretty much all of them who are still alive, with the exception of the mother who doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was fine for a movie that they took this long to make a sequel to, and there's the expectations are high. It for me, it didn't quite meet them, but it also didn't
the bed. And agreed. So, it didn't the bed.
It didn't the bed.
Boy,
put that on the poster.
High praise.
Didn't the bed.
That's gonna be the new tagline.
Yeah. I mean, it's what I exclaim every morning.
Well, most mornings. 98% of
come
mornings.
On, man.
You're able just to say, me, I didn't the bed. Well, I guess we didn't specify who was
that's true.
Yeah.
So if there's in the bed, it's not necessarily your fault.
Right. It's interesting you got so defensive about it, though.
Think thou doth protest too much.
Yeah.
This took a turn.
I didn't even say anything nasty. I was going to try to say something nasty the whole time.
Yeah, you never came back.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Okay, so I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
I host it's a horror movie podcast called Real Spoilers Patreon. I host that with my friend Joe. I'm not exactly sure what episodes are out right now, but recently we had special guest Kevin Brackett on.
Oh, what a coup.
And now he's not a horror movie guy, so we had to change format a little bit for him. We talked about the box office of the year, the top 10 of the box office. Great ep.
He's kind of a prima donna. Like, if he wants to be a certain topic, he just digs in.
Yeah. Right. So it was fun. It was fun to do something different. And I'm sure we'll get right back to horror movies after that. So
awesome.
You can find me at facebook.com/CrystalDOKeefe. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at ClipOutCrystal.
And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And what else? Oh, our Patreon, which you just plugged sufficiently, so I don't feel the need
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the same Patreon, though, because he said that was his Patreon.
No. It's my podcast.
Oh.
My podcast is called The Real Spoilers Patreon.
Okay. Thanks. I got it now.
And it's on The Real Spoilers Patreon.
And
that's patreon.com/real spoilers. I don't think I said that.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thanks for sneaking that in.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's it for this one. And next week, I think we'll have everybody back, so you won't have to listen to it be different.
What?
Wow.
What?
Wow. And you know what? You never will again.
Well, I know Crystal was very nice to hang out because she's not a movie nerd the way I am. So she's like, I will do this for you. That's what you said.
I did say that.
Multiple times.
Mm-hmm. My voice is not 100%.
She didn't just say it once. But your voice wasn't so rough that you couldn't say that to me multiple times.
You're not really fixing things over here.
And all I say to you is, I'll do anything for you, Tom.
Is that all you say to him?
I say it a lot, and I really emphasize it, you know, and then he's like, cool, you'll be on the pod, and I'm like, no, Tom, listen, I'll do anything. It's like, great, yeah, this episode sounds good.
I am a happily married man, sir.
It's the 90s, buddy. Things get wild, you know? A lot of different ways you can do it. You ever heard of a key party? I think you talked about it. Ooh, was it this episode? Last
one? It was the last one. Yeah.
It's a callback to the last episode.
Well done. Yeah. People love the callbacks. They love the callbacks. So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, there is no Santa. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't
say it twice, cause we already warned ya. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.